the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. Today is so exciting. Actually, I'd like to say today is going to rock your face off because I have Jaron Johnston from the Cadillac 3, and he rocks so hard. He's joining me today. He has written You Gonna Fly by Keith Urban, Southern Girl by Tim McGraw, Days of Gold and Beachin' by Jay Gowen, Raise Him Up by Keith Urban, to name a few. He is such a badass. He's also in a killer band, like I said before, the Cadillac 3. They are so great. If you haven't heard of them yet, make sure you check them out because they are just cool to the core. And at the end of this interview, his beautiful wife, Evan, pops in and talks about what it's like being married to a touring artist because they have been together for over 15 years and they're expecting their first child. So this is such a great interview. So much in it. Cannot wait for y'all to hear Jaron Johnston. Well, hi, Jaron Johnston.
Hello.
Do people pronounce the T or do they skip it?
Sometimes they don't. We get Jared Johnson sometimes, and those are usually people I don't hang out with anymore.
Wasn't he the Footloose guy? Or not the Footlong guy?
Oh, Jared. Yeah, there was a guy named Jared, but it wasn't Johnson.
Okay. Yeah, anyways. Jared Johnson? Is that a real person?
I would imagine somewhere out there. That probably sounds like a job for Google.
Okay, Jaron Johnston in the Hizzy.
Yeah. The ASCAPI.
In the ASCAPI.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start off with a few questions, okay?
Okay, cool.
So just answer what first comes to mind.
Okay.
Who do you admire and look up to?
Huge Tom Petty fan. Look up to is weird, you know. I think everybody, every musician, I think your husband would probably say the same thing, wants to be Tom Petty. You know,
I think Tom Petty is the ultimate one.
Yeah, on like a cool level and on a songwriting level, that's a pretty cool thing. I look up to those kind of people, Mick Jagger, all the nostalgic rock stars.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. If you could have, this is a very traditional question, but I actually really want to know because I think it's going to be interesting with you. If you could have a party, dinner party with five people, mm-hmm. Who would they be? Obviously your beautiful wife.
Yeah, I'd probably invite my wife.
excluding your gorgeous wife who's pregnant with a baby in April coming out.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I could have a dinner party with five people, mm-hmm. Chuck Norris would definitely be there.
You're a Chuck Norris fan.
Well, that would be amazing.
Because you're like a secret ninja, huh?
Yeah, well, I was going to go through those first. So, actually, it would just be such a cool dinner if I could have Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Lee, Mike Tyson, and let's throw in Ronda Rousey.
I didn't realize that you were like such a...
Well, just think of the conversations that would be had. Like, it'd be a lot of, I could kick your ass or you could kick my ass, you know, that
would
kind
you
of thing.
Jump in on that?
No, I would strike the conversation and be like, so which style of fighting do you think would really win this whole thing? And then it just gets, you know. The real question is, what do you eat?
Well,
what do
they
you
probably,
serve?
I bet you they eat like chicken,
raw chicken. Not
vegetables.
Raw chicken, but bare chicken and vegetables.
It's probably no drinking.
I'm drinking.
But don't you think those people are pretty strict?
I guarantee Chuck Norris probably is drinking somewhere.
Chuck Norris
right now.
Is probably drinking.
Yeah.
What do you think
Chuck
he
Norris
drinks?
Is probably at Dan McGinnis right now with Mike's his dad. I think he drinks prune juice and Jack Daniels. the old Jack Daniels and prune.
I can't believe that's the people you would pick for your dinner party.
Well, you sprung it on me. I didn't. It's not
that's
like I had
awesome. I didn't know you had the secret love for like ninja fighting.
I do. I'm a big fan of old karate movies and stuff like that.
Did you watch Karate Kid growing up?
Oh hell yeah! I wanted to be Daniel LaRusso really bad.
Can you
Ralph Macchio?
Can you kick real high?
Yep. Don't get me going. It's it's Tuesday. I kick really high on Tuesdays. So.
Okay. Good to know.
There's a reason my pants are split right now. They actually are.
Really?
Yeah.
That happens to Michael all the time. I swear, like his crotch just falls out. Like
well, there's two reasons. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Sorry. Is that just a thing that happens with guy jeans? I never have crotch.
I think it's a country western rock and roll thing. You know, I guarantee Dwight Yoakam had the same problem back in the day. You know?
Oh, his jeans are tight.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you like tight jeans?
Love them.
Okay. What motivates you? What motivates you to get out of bed? Like, what's your inspiration that you think of?
I, like an honest answer, I would say like I'm one of the few people that gets to do what he does for a living, that he actually, one of the things he really loves. So, you know, writing songs has always been a really fun thing for me to do, and it just so happens that it's a very, you know, well-paying job if you get it going.
If you get it going, right.
So, yeah, so that's been very exciting to do that kind of stuff, and I love touring with my band, my, you know, two best friends in the world. That kind of thing. Obviously, my beautiful wife is, she motivates me to get out of the bed when she's like, I'm up, so you're up. And, you know, having a baby and everything, I would imagine that's going to be more and more of that. But that I'm motivated heavily by music, and it's always been a lot of fun for me. You know.
So your dad was in a band called mm-hmm. Bandana.
He was.
Is that where you got your love for music? Was it just like in your veins when you were born?
Yeah, I think growing up in it, you know, whether it was mom playing at the church on the organ, or we were one of those families that sat in the front row on the right by mom as she played the organ.
And she played the organ?
Oh, yeah.
Organ's hard.
It was a very vanilla organ playing situation. But
there's like four keyboards and all sorts of pedals.
She was rocking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Sundays and Wednesdays.
Mom, hot on the organ.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know, growing up in that, and then dad being in the business and going at such a young age to shows like the Opry, or going out on the road with him and stuff and seeing that. And, you know, I was always enthralled with a tour bus and like just that rock star thing. It was really cool. So I guess to see that at an early age and to find out that I did have some sort of talent, whether it was from dad or whatever, or just being around it, that I could keep a beat and I could sing and I could play guitar really easily. Just kind of those things kind of came easier to me than math. You know,
which is crazy, because playing guitars and drums is very, that's like rubbing your stomach and patting your head.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do that.
It is.
I think it's interesting that didn't you start off as a drummer before you moved to singing?
I did.
Which is crazy because you have this insane voice.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's good.
How did you...
Check out the record if you haven't heard it. Anyway, sir.
Exactly. Yeah. Which we will get to all that.
Okay.
How did you... Why did you not start singing? Why did you not originally start as a singer?
Because dad was a drummer, and so that's just what... In fifth grade, you get to pick an instrument, you know, and I obviously lean towards drums because that's what I wanted. Everybody wants to be like their dad. Most people do, at least. And so I went into the drum world, and I really loved it, and I was really good at it, and actually made a decent living at it for a while. And then I really... When I was like 13, I started playing guitar badly, Nirvana and stuff like that, trying to pick out songs. And then I started realizing that I could write songs and stuff. And, you know,
How did you realize you could start writing songs? When did that kick in?
I don't know. I think I just started one day and I was like, oh, I can do this. And they were really bad for years, you know, but then you finally figure out you can do it, you know, decently. I don't know why I didn't. I mean, I guess that's why I didn't know to start singing at the beginning, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have anybody in my family that did that.
Drumming was your roadmap.
Right.
You saw that.
Exactly.
So that's what, and then you're like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you started bands when you started playing music, obviously, from birth, pretty much. When did you form your first band? Because you've been in several bands, and you've had a very long history in music.
Yeah, I see what you're saying here.
I'm just saying I'm old. I'm just saying you started young.
I did. I think we had our first band. It was called the Trolls of Fortune. I was 13 years old, and it was a very exciting experience.
The Trolls of Fortune?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was real deal.
What did that music sound like?
It sounded like really, really bad Rage Against the Machine mixed with, you know, a wannabe Nirvana type thing with a guy rapping on it. Yeah.
Okay, so what
and
age
I played guitar in that, actually.
What age were you when you came up with that band name?
13. I think we were 13, 14 years old, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you land on Trolls?
It just felt right, you know. I have no idea, honestly. That was just something my goofy friend that was in the band with me, Phil, he came up with that name, and it was funny, so he went with it.
And then, okay, after Trolls of Fortune, unfortunately, disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a sad day?
It was when the world lost a good one that day. I don't know. It was kind of a joke band, but then we all started getting serious with it, and then we all
You were like the coolest kids in junior high and high school.
Pretty much.
For sure.
We thought we were. And then we
definitely
kind of all split up into... kind of real band type.
Is that one? Were you the one that started the Kicks?
No, I just joined the Kicks. That
you
was
joined the Kicks.
Yeah, I was. That was 10 years later.
So after
I'm actually 55 years old. I have an amazing person that does my stuff.
Just so. Please give me your person. I need to know her secrets.
He is.
Oh, he.
He is really good.
It's like every night.
My wife, she's over here. She's staring at me. So.
She's like, well, I mean, your face does look good. You are ageless.
Yeah, that's true.
After Trolls of Fortune, what came next?
Just high school, and you're playing. Like, that's when I met Kelby and Neil and Ben, like all my guys that I kind of started playing with.
And you're an original Nashville native.
Born and raised.
Which I kind of feel like is almost unicornish.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I was born right over there at Baptist Hospital. And I went to high school right there on the other side of that thing.
So Nashville's your town.
It is.
Have you liked the way it's grown? Because it's like shot up over the past 10 years especially, I feel like.
I like, you know, like certain talents and certain people that it's brought to town. Like Hobby's a great example. I wouldn't have met Michael if he hadn't moved here. I like that aspect. I don't like how it's gotten so condo-ish and knocking down studios for all that shit. That's kind of been a bummer. But it's a neat thing to be a part of a growth and a part of a city that is growing in a way that everybody's taking notice. So, but yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
So originally you were in Bang Bang Bang.
Yep.
And that was with Kelby,
mm-hmm.
and also Neil, who you're still in the band with. You also had your friend Brown. Ben Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I remember when I moved to Nashville and I first started dating Michael, who you're friends with, my husband now.
Yeah.
You guys owned this town. Like everyone went to Bang Bang Bang. It was
a good time.
Nashville, to me, it was the music that everyone wanted to be a part of, hang out with, go to the shows. How did y'all get that cool vibe going, and how did you guys get together? Because Kelby was in a band called Llama, was that right?
No, that was
Neil.
Yeah, we were all, the Llama thing was like when we were in high school, and they got a record deal, and we were all kind of in that little circle, and we were just all playing with different people, but we all had a kind of a cool thing, which is very similar to what happened when the Bang 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 thing started. We started that band, and we kind of, you know, like I said, we all went to high school together. We started that band, and then you had certain bands that also were popping around up around town, like Paramore, and the Kings were already kind of
Kings
big.
Of Leon?
Yeah, the Because
you're friends with all them, right?
Yeah, the Feature, I mean, kind of, you know.
Well, y'all all kind of grew up, together.
Yeah, yeah, and then, you know, Audubon, all these cool bands, underground bands that were rocking at the same time. It was kind of like a little movement, and I guess Bang 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 was like the biggest of those bands that wasn't huge. You know what I mean? So you had Paramore and the Kings.
But you guys were like the top dogs.
We were big in town, but that was about it.
No.
and then we got a record deal and things happened and, you know, we changed it to American Bang. And years later, I'm still doing this shit.
Years later, you're still dominating this shit. So you go from Bang 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 and then y'all change to American Bang.
Mm-hmm.
You sign with Warner Brothers.
Yep.
And Bob Rock produces you guys, which is mega because he's done some major big stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was an amazing experience working with Bob.
What was that like? Who has he done?
One of my favorite. I mean, he did the Black Album, which is Metallica's kind of staple record that made him huge. But, you know, he did Permanent Vacation by Aerosmith. I mean, The Cult. He did all kinds of great stuff. He's in his own band, The Paolas, too, that was pretty rad. He's just like the quintessential rock producer that everybody at one point or one time wanted to be with, you know. So, and he's maintained that kind of thing for the last 30 years. So, it's he was pretty incredible.
Did you always know that you were going to be in company with these greats? Like, did you always feel that? Because
you are
a great.
You know, you hope that, you know, that at some point, like now where we are now and the people that I run around with and the random people that text me.
Like Keith Urban, Jake Owen, Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler is like your friend.
Like random stuff that happens like that is a very crazy thing. Like you always hope that you're going to be able to get there one day, and then it kind of happens, and then it happens over time, and you kind of take it for granted, and you find yourself not taking certain calls, and you're like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? And that's so stupid, but it's like, you know, it goes back to that childhood dream of wanting to be in this situation, you know?
So this is a question that one of my main things I love about doing these interviews and talking to people like you is it unearths, people might look at you and they could say like, Jaren's written, I mean, what, 6 number one hits? Or is it 7?
Well, you need to do some more homework.
How many is it? Is it 8?
I have left here. No, it should be 8, but it's actually 7.
Oh.
Yeah, I got screwed on Meanwhile back at Mama's.
What do you go to, number 2?
Thanks a lot, Dirks.
Dirks?
Yeah.
Ass.
And Drunk on a Plane kept me out.
Dirks, I thought he was your buddy.
He was.
Past tense.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not anymore.
So that was like, that's basically number one.
Yeah.
So you've had like 8 monster songs. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what I always like to talk about with people, is everyone thinks it's so glamorous and so easy, and they see these people living these lifestyles, hanging out with all these people, and they're like, oh my God, that's so easy for you. Like, music must be such a blast and so much fun. Obviously, it is such a blast and so much fun. But it takes major perseverance. Like, obviously, you've been doing music since you were a kid, going through several record deals. How do you not get discouraged when things don't go the way you want them to, when you when you know that you have the talent and they should.
It's tough. You have to know how to live broke and stick with the dream of it will happen one day. You say that to yourself forever, you know, and then finally you get yourself to a point where you're just like, one thing happens, and then it's very exciting.
What was the first thing, your first thing that you remember?
The first thing that happened that was crazy was when I started getting just little cuts, you know what I mean? And then I had my first number one with Keith, and You're Gonna Fly, and I remember at that moment was, you know, we were kind of, oh, well, this is happening. And I was like,
that's a big song,
like,
too.
I was thinking just as a kid, you don't know. It's like, I'm going to be rich. You know, like that kind of thing, which is not the case. But it's
very, but it's great. It's much more rich than you were.
But it's very neat. You know? And I mean, even before that, like the first thing that happens, you get your first pub deal where somebody tells you that they're going to pay you to write songs for a living.
Which is crazy.
And that's when you stop waiting tables and you're like, I'm doing this for real. I'm one of those guys that actually get to do this. But that's
did you know I heard there's
you know?
Only like 360 people who have publishing deals?
Oh, I don't know. One for...
Or maybe that's even too many. Maybe it was like 160 people actually have publishing deals in, like, as a job.
I have no idea.
So it's a very small percentage of people who get to do this for a living.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's one of those things that sets you up to where that's just the beginning, and you're like, oh, I've made it. I've got a job, but you got to keep the job. So it's like...
I know.
That's what it's kind of... It gets kind of intense, and it's very competitive, especially these days, you know.
Do you ever have a hard time celebrating a big hit because you know as soon as that celebration's over, it's you gotta start right back over, or do you just not think about that?
No, I mean we usually go out pretty good whenever there's a number one party or whatever. You know, I mean there was a time when Neil and I would meet at Rumba when it was still open over there. Every time we got a hold or a cut or anything, you know, we'd sit there like, we're getting hammered tonight. We got a hold, we got a, you know, Chris Cagle hold or a, you know, whatever it is. You know, like it could have been anybody, and you get so excited. But yeah, we still get really excited about all the little things like that.
I do think it's important to celebrate all the victories.
Yeah. I remember celebrating my Stealing Angels hold.
Did you really?
No, I never had.
Oh, you're such an asshole.
I never had a Stealing Angels hold. You guys wouldn't cut any of my stuff.
I'm telling you, when I was a song plugger, I would be so excited when you were right with our writers. The first hold I ever got.
Were you a chair? Or
no, I was at Young Guns Publishing. And the first hold that I ever got was picking up.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty Little Hot Mess, rocking that sundress. Oh, yeah. And I pitched it to every person in the world, and like four people put it on hold. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God, this song's going to get cut. Because every song you write to me should be a hit.
Oh, that song still hasn't gotten cut, by the way.
Which is so good.
Yeah, that sucks.
I know. And that's the thing that like blows my mind. And I'm sure as a hit songwriter and someone who writes all the time, is it frustrating when these songs that you write are so good just get overlooked sometimes? I know a lot of them don't, obviously.
It is, though. I just had a meeting earlier today about a couple of songs that we were wondering why nobody's taken them yet. And a couple of people have held them, you know, and then they let them go. And you're just like, I mean, that's the way it was for years, you know. So it's like, I guess it just, they have to make their rhyme, their rounds. And I think a lot of it's about timing, whether or not an artist is feeling that moment or that kind of thing for that this record, or if they're cutting it all. So it's, you know. It's a lot about timing.
So you're also really good, in my opinion, and I feel like you're really great at this, and I feel like my husband's really good at it, too, at kind of, like, not reinventing yourself, but learning how to, like, dance with the times, because obviously rock radio sort of shut down. And you are rooted in rock. My husband, Michael, and Thousand Horses is rooted in rock. But there is no rock radio anymore.
Right.
Do you feel like country has sort of morphed into that genre for where rock meets country?
I think it's, you know, it's obviously with the, you know, the way that some of the artists that have started making records like they do, Eric Church is a great example. I think the genre, I don't know that the genre is actually open to this, but it's just kind of naturally happened with Stapleton and all these guys that are coming in and doing not necessarily rock, they're just doing their version of country.
Exactly.
And so it's, you know, I grew up in Nashville. I was around country music my whole life, you know. I think my version, whether you want to call it rock and roll or country western or whatever, southern rock, I think it's just my version of what I grew up in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the country genre is, I'm really happy the way that it's embraced a couple of us and given us a home as far as the genre goes. Because, yeah, rock and roll radio is tough these days, and I did it for years. But, you know, that's what's great about country music is it embraces the Sam Hunts, who are extremely far pop, you know, or the Casey Musgraves, who are very Texas kind of, you know, whatever that is. And then there's also room for us. Now, whether or not country radio embraces it all the way and, you know, takes it to the top, I don't know that that's going to happen yet, but I think it's heading that way because the ones that are us that are doing our own thing are building a fan base that there's going to be demand for those people on the radio. So it's exciting times in the country genre, I think.
And also, I feel like country music's blowing up in Europe. And you guys have gone overseas, and I feel like y'all just knock it out of the park. What is it like over there? Do you feel like Tom Petty?
No,
because y'all shows are crazy.
Well, it's neat over there because, you know, the Heartbreakers went over there first, and they were big in Japan before they were anything over here. And I think that was our main mindset of going over there first. And we were one of the first country bands, us and Eric, to go over there 3 or 4 years ago. And, I mean, now it's, you know, we're bigger over there than we are here in most places. And it's, you know, it's surreal. It's crazy. They you have these people that are singing along in this to this genre that's talking about something they know absolutely nothing about, but they want to be a part of it. So it's really neat to be kind of leading that pack because now everybody's going over there, you know, so it's cool.
So not to put you on the spot or make you...
But kind of to put me on the spot.
Well, I mean, we just have to go through. Will you just run through your hits for me? The ones that you've written for other people, what you've written and who they're for?
I wrote You're Gonna Fly, Keith Urban. Mm-hmm. See if I can remember how to do them. And Southern Girl, McGraw. Sunshine and Whiskey, Frankie Ballard. Donut, Billy Currington. Beach In, Jake Owen. American Country Love Home Song, Jake Owen. Meanwhile, Back at Mama's, Tim McGraw.
Also, American Gold. Or, no. That's maybe when Michael was trying to cut
it. Yeah, it is, yeah.
I was like, it's not American.
I was like, how did they cut it? Raise Him Up by Keith Urban. And
Days of Gold, that's what I was saying.
Days of Gold, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. It's been a very cool couple years, you know.
And is it crazy or is it normal that Keith Urban comes over to your house to write with you?
That's pretty weird. He showed up at my house the other day to play on our new Cadillac record, and he was in this, like, you know, Evan and I are doing pretty good, you know, I got my truck out there, my old truck, and he pulls up in like a $500,000 Bugatti Batmobile, and I'm just like, oh, hey, and I'm like shutting my garage door really quickly so he doesn't see my old truck. But no, it's really cool, man. It's like I said, it's one of those moments you hope at some point you're going to get to that point in your career, and it's kind of happened, you know.
Has Keith Urban or anyone in particular been someone that you've like talked to or like leaned on to for not advice about how to navigate this industry, but I think of someone like Keith, like it was never a perfectly smooth road for him either.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I think a lot. Dirks has been a really, you know, he's helped us out a lot. Eric has helped us out a lot.
So you're Dirks, Eric, Keith, like all these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The FGL guys, honestly, is we've been friends for so long, and we kind of both started in the bars together. They're in private jets and things now, but they were there in those moments when we were both starting out. So they're fun to bounce ideas off to. You know, they don't really get our world right now because, like I said, they're in private jets. But they're like, man, just get a jet, dog.
Just get one.
Yeah.
Just do
it. But no, everybody's been really cool. I think there's a lot of people in town that are rooting for a band like us.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's not even rooting. Like, to me, you guys are the band in town. No, like, when you think of, like, the coolest guys in Nashville, it's always been Bang Bang Bang, American Bang, whatever you guys are doing is the coolest sound.
You hear
always.
That? You hear that, Hobby?
I mean, Michael would probably agree with me. He would. He would probably have to say, oh, yeah.
I get nice text messages from him every now and then.
Michael has a man crush on you. I mean, y'all bromance. It's friendship, but he also has, like, mad respect for you.
I love Michael.
Oh, yeah, heck yeah. He'd probably be like, Caroline, why are you making me look like a sissy to Jaren on your podcast right now?
Yeah, why are you making Jaren like a sissy?
So, do you enjoy, is it a tie or is it even, like, can you even compare? Do you enjoy being a songwriter or an artist or is it like two different children? Because you're also a producer and a publisher. Like, do you have a preference over what you love to do the most? Let's go with songwriter and artist.
Yeah, I like the songwriter and artist kind of gives me Jacqueline Hyde. It gives me the chance to flex these muscles over here and the chance to flex these like creative muscles over here where I can write a song about something that I don't necessarily want to sing every night, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or live someone else's life story over
here.
Like
it doesn't totally match you.
You know what I mean? And still see the success of that song. So yeah, it is kind of like two children where, you know, I still want these to do good, but I want these to do good. And it's fun for, I mean, I you know, if I wasn't with Neil and Kelby, I wouldn't be doing that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go do a Jaren Johnson sings the blues record or whatever. You know what I mean? I do it because we have such a blast with it as friends growing up together and pursuing that dream and actually kind of starting to taste it is very, very cool. But then over here, it's an equal love because I love songwriting. I love getting the success of seeing a song go up the charts and having one of your favorite singers sing it and, you know, it's neat, man. Both are amazing.
What is it like being in a band with Kelby and Neil? How does it shake out? Like, what are the personalities mesh?
We've known each other so long. It's, you know, I know when Kelby's hungry.
And he never gains weight.
Oh, yeah. I know when Neil's whatever. You know, I mean, we just kind of bounce off each other. And it's just a machine that just rides. You know, like, we're great together. We're a great band. On the stage, we're just like we are in real life. Like, we kind of move together and we play together. You know, there's no bullshit. There's no tracks. There's no none of that. It's just three dudes playing music together, and that's kind of the way we are in life too. It's just three dudes going through life together. So,
are y'all pretty much in sync? Like, you don't really have to even speak to each other to know what the other one needs.
Say a word. We don't even talk about what we're opening with song wise. We just get out there and go, okay, let's go.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, never. We have never.
Y'all don't even have a set list.
Never have a set list. Anything?
Are you kidding me? No. So y'all don't sit there and plan out the show.
No.
You guys just get out there and rock.
Yes.
And y'all just like have a look and you know what's happening.
Yes.
Really?
I mean,
can you change it on a dime and they're like, everyone's just right there?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's amazing?
Yeah, I do. There's a reason I do it. You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun because it's very natural with the three of us. And what's neat about it is you don't see that very often in country genre. You really don't.
Everything's pretty prepared.
Yeah, mapped out. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I love that. I had no idea y'all don't use set lists. That would kind of freak. I guess when you've done it that long, you know each other that well.
Right, yeah. Do the new one. No. Okay, do Southern. No, we do Southern.
Okay, so speaking of Southern, your first single that came out.
The South, yeah.
The South. Mm-hmm. You like trying about the South and Southern.
I do.
And Southern, because that's you.
Obviously. I only have a couple tricks, you know.
Well, I mean, they say right what you know.
Yeah.
So clearly, you're from the South. Mm-hmm. Your first single on Big Machine was super star-studded. Mm-hmm. There was Florida Georgia Line, Dierks Bentley, Mike Eli from Eli Young Band. Mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy to start off with a bang like that and have that much support from the community, you know?
Yeah, and it was a joke, honestly. We were like, we should get some guys to come over and sing on this, and it was actually going to be a different song. And then for some reason, South ended up being the one that we were cutting that day, and Dierks came over, FGL came over, and Mike was next door singing on an Alabama tribute record or something like that.
So he was just there.
Yeah, so he came over, and we'd been friends for a while. We just got off a tour with them down in Texas, so yeah, it just worked out. I mean, and that was a neat thing about that time is like Dierks had just taken us out on the road. We were gonna do some shows. We'd gotten off the road with FGL, and they were really blowing up at the time, and we were gonna do a summer tour with them the next year.
Is that what you just came off of this
year?
Yeah,
that's what we just got done with. So, you know, it's just really neat to kind of have it all kind of come together accidentally and sing on a song that, you know, kind of was the icebreaker for us at, you know, in this genre.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you love to post pictures of your food on Instagram.
I do. I have a problem.
Tell me about this.
I don't know.
Do you just love to share what you eat?
Yeah.
Because it's so good?
A lot of times, I didn't take it as...
It's a thing now. Everyone looks for your food
pictures.
Well,
I do it now just because a lot of people... It makes so many people talk about it, and they get so mad about it. Or somebody's like...
Why do they get mad about it?
Oh, no, I'm hungry. I'm eating Rice-A-Roni, and you're out here... You know,
I feel like it's a lot of Mexican food.
Yeah, oh, it is. I love Mexican
and
food.
Yellow Porch.
Yeah, we ate there last night. Actually, it was delicious.
I kind of like know where y'all hang based on your Instagram food pics.
Yeah, and I think it right now. I started doing it just for fun. It's like, oh, this looks great, and now I do it just because people are always talking about it, pretty much too. And I like a good meal. You know what I mean? And if it looks really good, it's like I could put that filter on. It's gonna look really good.
Do you have a certain craving? Like, do you crave certain things?
Dude, my wife is pregnant, and I crave more than...
Do you have, like, empathy cravings for her?
Well, I'm always... When she got pregnant, I was so excited because I was like, this will knock out the one thing we usually argue about is what we're going to eat at night, because I'll just let her call it because I can eat anything. I don't care. I just get excited about it.
You just are ready.
Yeah, I'm ready to go right now. And she goes... She hasn't really craved much, and so it's still. I'm like, you want to go to Asian? How about Asian? And she's sick of Asian. Asian hasn't been her thing while she's been pregnant. So we eat a lot of pizza, a lot of Mexican stuff like that. But yeah, I have cravings for Mexican like probably once, twice a day. I don't eat it once or twice a day sometimes, but but I do like it a lot.
Well, it's amazing. Okay, this feels like a good time to bring Evan in. I want to just bring Evan in for the end of the interview, just a little bit. You have to come join us. You have to come say hi.
Makeup on.
You do too. You have makeup on here.
Yes, you do. Come on.
Come say hey.
Come on. Sit down. Oh my God.
You're pregnant. And I'm fat.
This light's gonna make me look like I have less makeup on.
You're gonna be great.
You're gonna be great. Okay. You're not fat. What you have in your stomach is called a baby.
Yeah, big one.
Okay, so first off, what are y'all having? Can we tell? Can you talk about it?
Sure, we're having a boy.
Do we have a name?
Not yet.
Rambo.
Or Chuck, or what are all those people?
Chuck, no.
Chuck, no, or Chuck.
No, no name. We have it narrowed down, but we have
we're not
decided.
Telling.
No.
You know what? I actually think that that's a really good idea not to tell people because then everyone gives you their opinion. They're like, oh. I knew someone named Chuck, and he was the
sucked,
worst.
Yeah.
Still have lots of opinions about names.
Yes.
And lots of opinions about pregnancy in general, other people's pregnancy, which is strange. But, yeah, so we have it narrowed down, but, yeah, we're not telling.
What's some of the worst pregnancy advice you've gotten from someone?
I get a lot. I don't know. Just people butting in where they're not supposed to. We're giving birth in a private birth center, and I think a lot of people are hesitant and want to know why you're not going to a hospital. But it's really because
hospitals freak
business.
Me out. That's why we're not going to a hospital.
Yeah, Jaren would pass out in a hospital.
Yeah,
we
like,
need to go.
Look
so
at
this
the,
is for him.
Hey,
really.
Hey, look at the back.
Yeah, who's the one giving labor here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we really need to just work around his schedule and if he's stressed out or not. But yeah, so I don't know. This it's just all kinds of stuff. Or people want to tell you what you should eat. Actually, I did have a lady while we were down at the beach. I ordered a green juice, and she told me that I should not be having a green juice because of, like, the risk of, there's lots of things, listeria, whatever. But I am very well educated, and I drink green juices all the time. But anyway, it's just funny when people want to try to tell you what
she
to eat.
She was
to
not
do.
A happy camper.
It's goofy.
She came to me and said, I want a smoothie, but you have to go get it from that bitch. That's exactly what she said.
That was the second time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I drink, like, green smoothies or juices every
That's
day. And yeah, she, like, pissed me off, so I made Jaren go get it the second time. I almost didn't want one, but I needed one, so
yeah. Okay, so I recently
Hyperdrive pregnancy blog point two.
I recently interviewed the wives of 1,000 horses mm-hmm. because I think it's a very interesting perspective.
What are y'all the jockey?
The jockeys, because we ride horses.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like
Isn't
a sex
funny?
Thing.
It's like a sex thing. I think it's a sex thing. Some of the girls don't think it's funny to be a sex thing. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not going to have a funny name, then what's the point?
Yeah, okay. I like it.
So, Hal, you have been, y'all been like high school sweethearts. Y'all been together for how many years?
It'll be 16 in February.
Yep.
And y'all are just like not even in your mid-30s. So, that's crazy. Right at there. So, that's a long time. Y'all been together a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, she's a lucky girl. You know?
I've been putting up with his crap for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of what I want to ask you. What is it like being married to a musician? Like, obviously, there's so many layers of it. Can you give us people who listen who have no idea what it's like being married to a touring musician songwriter?
I mean, it's different for everybody. This goes back to the advice thing. I never try to tell people, you know, I do it right and we have the secret or anything like that. But, I mean, you've got to have your own life. You've got to be really invested in yourself, and you have to stay busy and find things that you love.
And you have to like the band.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
If you didn't like the music, I don't think you could be with someone, do you?
No.
I think that that's part of it, too. But, yeah, you just have to stay busy. You just have to find your own things and find your own life, and you can't be too codependent because then you'll just be lonely and sad and, you know, so you've just got to stay involved in things going on with you. And then you also just have to be supportive and patient and hopefully find somebody that does the same for you. And we've grown up together in the right way. So we got lucky like that.
So for all you girls out there looking for a man in a band, don't be discouraged. It can happen to you, too.
I would not recommend it. But I'm just kidding.
I do agree with you, though. Having your own thing is crucial because if you don't, I feel like you could get, not you, a wife or a spouse or someone could get lost in it all in a way.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on and it a lot of times doesn't involve you and you can be the one sitting on the sidelines and it can be difficult and stressful and, you know.
But fun and awesome, too.
That's if you don't have all your own stuff going on. Yeah, I'm saying, but if you're confident and you feel good about yourself and you know that.
And you
hey,
are,
I've
and you do.
Got all this stuff going on, then it's just fun to go hang out on the road and to, you know, go do stuff when they've got things going on and travel and all those things. So there are perks to it for sure.
Speaking of your own thing, we're sitting in actually your office, which you are pretty much, in my mind, you run ASCAP. So that's kind of a big deal. Not only are you a hot smoking wife with your own thing, you're running, you're, well, obviously it takes a village to run the thing, but you are like a major player and one of the biggest PROs, which no one's going to know what that is. Can you explain what you do?
Performance.
Sure.
Performance.
Performing rights organization.
Performing rights organization.
Very crucial to the money.
Absolutely. It's all about the money. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a performing rights organization makes sure people like Jaron get paid when they have songs on the radio or on TV or in films or whatever. But I personally work on the creative side of things. So I work with writers and artists every day and just wear many hats. I work as a booking agent some days and a publisher some days and a manager some days. And you just kind of do a little bit of everything. You're kind of at the forefront of development and the first step before people kind of get to that next level. You help introduce new up and coming artists to people and kind of, you know, get to meet them on their way up. So it's cool.
Jaron.
And they can forget you on your way down.
Yeah. Jaron.
Oh, wait, I said that wrong, I think. Once they get up there, they forget you.
What is your favorite thing about Evan?
Just those eyes. No, I mean, you know, we've been, like she said, we've been together for maybe 16 years coming up here in 2 or 3 weeks. It's, you know, it's the ability she's had to be with me, you know, when I was sleeping on her couch, you know, over on Hobbs Avenue in Green Hills. Waiting tables at Calypso at night and Alpine Bagel, making bagels during the day.
There was a time you weren't even waiting tables at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. But that's my point, though. She, you know, she's kind of stuck with me through everything. And we've always just, you know, she's kind of given me the benefit of the doubt and been like, oh, it's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen at some point. You know, and to have that background build up for so many years of nothing happened or kind of thinking we were doing something cool and then something actually happened and something else happened and something get to the point where we're building a family. We have houses and cars together and we have a life together. And we, you know, it's like to see how that all come to fruition and then look back on what we started with is that's my favorite thing is that it's just been constant no matter what, whether it's good or bad, she's always been there. So I think...
Oh, tears. I'm not even pregnant. I want to cry.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, not everybody, especially in this business, has someone like that.
To have a badass babe by your side, yeah, how much has that meant to you, truly? Did you even know how much that means to you when you, obviously?
Well, I think you take it for granted as when you're younger. You're just like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. She'll like me then because I'll be rich. And you know what I mean? Like that stupid shit. But like,
and then you realize how long the process
is. Yeah. Well, that and like, I mean, you look at all the songs. I mean, half these songs I've written that have been hits for people or meant so much to certain people or to millions of people that bought them or sang them on the radio or whatever were written about her. So I wouldn't have found that inspiration, you know, without it. So it's just, you know, there's a bunch of things that, you know, you realize you can't do this business alone, especially me. I say many times from stage, I'm always like, I'd probably be dead, you know, or who knows, in jail or definitely not doing as well as I am now, you know. So I think that, you know, you got to chalk all that up to old misses here.
Oh, okay, Evan, what's your favorite thing about Jaron?
No, here we go.
He's the funniest person I know.
She's right. She's right.
Let's see. I'd say it's that he has the ability to calm me down. I tend to be, we're a really good balance in the fact that I'm pretty anal and a planner and a perfectionist and want everything to go right, like every little thing, even down to that's why we argue about where to eat because every meal needs to be perfect.
For the picture.
Yeah, well, for that's
those food part. Pictures are famous, Evan. They're a big deal. We all look forward to them.
I am over the food pictures, but I know that he does it now for the fans.
It's
for
the fans. Do it for the people.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think just our dynamic, he's able to chill me out when I need to be chilled out and you know, let me see that things aren't always so serious. And then also he loves dogs and that's probably one of my favorites. He has a good heart and he's quite the crier too. So that's pretty good.
It's just recently since we started having this baby. I mean, a damn Geico commercial could come on. I'm just like,
it's good though.
What's happening to
me? It's pretty awesome. It makes me feel better cause I cried everything too. So yeah.
Do you guys watch This Is Us together?
We started it. I've watched a few more. I mean, he's not home super often, and I can't just put everything on hold. So right. I have to watch some shows.
I can't
shows.
Put This Is Us on hold.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you cry, prepare for Waterworks. Oh. Michael cries yeah. every time.
Yeah, oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, he's a big sissy. I love you, Hobby. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, we're going to wrap up. I have like a few more questions. Tell me what you guys are excited about most about having this baby and how, what you think you hope your life to look like as a unit moving forward now as a three instead of a two.
At this point, I think I can speak for both of us. When mainly what's going through our minds is when you're hoping for something or whether you pray or whatever it is, you're wishing for just a healthy, easy situation. Then you know, if, at least I am.
Jared's like easy.
Jared doesn't want to pass out.
Well, I just want it to be. You know, I want it to be a great experience, which I know it will be. But I just want to help. You know, we just want to love a healthy baby boy and everything to go smoothly, and then, you know, get him home and start life. And at that point, God knows what's going to happen because we've never done it before. You know, so I think that's the exciting part and also a little scary. But I mean, it's, you know, I think. Yeah, I get more and more excited as the days go, as we get closer and closer. And, you know, I can't wait for her on the side of the stage with the little headphones on Bud, you know, and me looking over and being like, hey, that's my family, you know. So that's just such a cool thing to look forward to. I think the starting a family thing is what I'm more excited about, just being like, oh, this is
doing something different. Yeah, we've done the same thing together for the, I mean, we've had, you know, new and exciting adventures, but it's just been the two of us and our dogs for the past 15 and a half years. So I think doing something else, the next adventure, that's what is exciting.
Yeah. But you know what I like, though? I like that y'all didn't rush it, because some people don't get to have all that time together. And everything is different for everyone, so it all works for each other. But at the same time, how cool that you had 15 years to, like, have these adventures
and
together.
Now it's over.
Well, oh, shut up. You're such an asshole.
I'm just kidding. No, as many
of us. We know each other really well, and I think that that is a good thing. I mean, like you said, it's different for everyone, but there's no surprises anymore, at least for the two of us. We know exactly how each other's going to react to what. I know I can tell you almost exactly the type of dad he's going to be. And
tell me, what type of dad he's going to be?
Oh, he'll be the fun dad, absolutely, but he's also going to be the paranoid dad. He's going to make my kid wear a helmet just to walk around. Like, he's extremely paranoid.
That's how Michael is, too.
I don't want him to get hurt.
He's put it like six seat belts, and it's going
to
be.
I just had eight. We got two
like
more
me
put
and
in.
The kid are going to go and do like skydiving and roller coasters, and Jaren's going to freak out. Yeah. We'll just do it when he's out of town.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say over my dead body.
When you're in Europe.
Yeah, okay.
I love it.
First baby skydiver. That'd be brilliant.
Hey, gotta get fearless.
Hyperdrive,
right
the
away.
First online husband and wife fight right before she has a baby. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna wrap up, and I'm actually gonna ask both of you guys this because I think y'all are both super interesting and can enlighten us all. Jaren, I'm gonna start with you. Mm. I like to wrap up all my interviews with "Leave Your Light." Mm. So leave some inspiration of how you would like to inspire people or how you have been inspired.
Oh, I mean, like, you know. I actually wrote a song about this not too long ago, but I think, you know.
What's the song called?
I can't tell you because.
It's about to get cut and be the ninth number one.
It's a big song. But I think, you know, the idea is to be as, you know, remembered for your, like for me, I put most of what I will have done, hopefully by the time I'm gone, is I put most of my life into my music and all this stuff, right? So you build this whole life of, you know, catalogs and just things that really move people music-wise. But then you also start a family, and you're also remembered by the love that you gave them and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of what the song is. But, I mean, I think, obviously, I just want to be remembered as, you know, somebody that put true, honest words into songs that had a decent melody that moved people, and also by the, you know, family that I start, you know, and hopefully finish, you know, so.
Okay, Evan.
Looking for approval for
that one.
No, I mean,
that was a good one.
Just can't win over here. That's just
Evan, okay, leave your light.
I'd say just be who you are. I'm extremely unapologetic about who I am. I think that has worked in both my personal life and my professional life. The music business is a tough business, and so getting where you want to be is hard, and you have to really fight for what you want, especially being a woman. Sometimes it can be a little tricky. But I think I apply the same thing in my personal life as my professional life. And that's just, I am who I am, and I fight for what I believe in. And it's worked out well in both aspects. So that's what I always try to tell people.
You guys, y'all may be giving John Legend and Chrissy Teigen a run for their money on Cutest Couple.
No.
Oh, I'm in love with both of them.
That's
so thank you.
Me too. That's my celebrity crush, hardcore.
Oh, sure. Duh. And their kid is like, so cute.
Love it.
I'm starving.
Well, it's about time to eat. It's dinner time. I think I asked you everything I needed to ask. If not, I mean, there's so much to talk about.
You didn't bring up my dad's band's hits, The Killing Kind and Outside Looking
In. I have them on
in.
There. The Killing Kind and Outside Looking In.
I was like, wow, I can't believe you had those written down. That's
talk
really
to
cool.
me about those real fast.
No, I don't.
No, I want to. They're no, brought up. It's brought up.
So Bandana was basically like Restless
this
Heart.
It's going to be awkward because then she's going to have to cut it when
nope.
and I'm in the middle.
No, oh, no. Fine. It's all going to flow. Hyper, listen, we are real life here. You know what you said? Be as real and unapologetic. That's what's happening here.
My dad's band was like the Rascal Flatts before Rascal Flatts. This was 1980. So
you grew up and you like your dad was like famous.
Yeah, well, no, I mean it wasn't famous, but they were like that type of band. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were on Warner Brothers, and you know they had those hits or whatever. And then Restless Hearts came in, Exile, Diamond Rio.
I was loving that era.
Yeah, and so they kind of got blown out by all those other guys. But I just thought it was funny that you had those songs written on there. I haven't thought about those in a while, but I still have the vinyl, Dad.
I just think it's awesome that your dad started this whole I love it when people are so inspired by the way they were raised that they loved it so much that they love it too.
Oh yeah, and if you look at it, if you Google this, kids, the Bandana album cover, the big vinyl, looks very similar to color-wise to the American Bang vinyl thing.
A little influence.
Both
maybe.
On Warner Brothers too.
Just saying.
Yeah.
There could be a connection.
Yeah. Father and son.
Okay, you guys, Evan and Jaren Johnston. I like to get the T.
With the T.
Mm-hmm.
And baby Johnston is here with us in spirit.
Rambo.
This is
Rambo.
Rambo, this is your first interview. Anything you want to say?
He has definitely been moving.
Yeah. I pity the food. It doesn't get Jaren food soon.
Okay, you guys rock. Bye.
Caroline, she's the queen.
I hope you loved hearing from Jaren Johnston and his gorgeous wife, Evan. I cannot wait for their baby to be born because it's going to be a rock star. They are such a great power couple. Love them so much. Next week, you guys, I have Lucy Silvas joining me. What? Lucy Silvas was a European sensation, sold over 1 million albums in Europe. She has performed and toured with everyone from Elton John, Jamie Cullen, Macy Gray, Charlotte Church. She's been named one of CMT's Next Women of Country. She wrote a song on Miranda Lambert's new album called Smoking Jacket. Rolling Stone just premiered her video trilogy of songs. She did 3 songs in a row, Letters to Ghost, Villain, and Smoke. Rolling Stone premiered them all. She also has an album out that is amazing called Letters to Ghost, and she's killing it. This girl is probably one of the greatest singers I've ever heard. She's also married to John Osborne from the Brothers Osborne, and he kicks off this interview by interviewing Lucy. So it is so much fun. Y'all tune in next week. It's going to be a party.